is no name given among men
under heaven by we must be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I come to choir practice, not that I'm in the choir, but I sit usually on the front row and listen. So I've been able to meditate upon that song a few hours or a few minutes and over hours to think about that high and holy name. And what a wonderful job they did in presenting that to us. Well, I came in the service, as I usually do, a little early and greet those who have come a little early. And one person said to me, how long do you expect to be here today? And I said, well, I don't know why. He said, well, 47 verses? He said, wow, how long do you expect to be here? Did I say he? Well, anyway, I was trying to be a little bit more subtle than that, but it was a he. And so I said, well, I noticed you started sweating pretty badly there when you saw it was 47 verses. But he said, no, I'm here for the duration. So I told him, I said, well, I'm reading them. This is my habit when I'm preaching through. I picked this up a number of years ago. When I move from one chapter to the next, then I read the full chapter to you so you can kind of get into the flow of the chapter. And then, of course, as you know, I go back over this. Now, someone has said, well, you kind of went through chapter 1 of Acts rather quickly. And I said, that's right, but you don't know how much hyperplasia I have wanting to go through some of these verses and explain them to you. But I'm moving on to chapter 2, and then I want to read this to you and see, as we read it, how the Lord will use it in your life, and will give you the full context. Now, of course, Acts chapter 2 is a very familiar chapter to anyone that knows the Bible, and that anyone's been in church any length of time. You understand what happened at Pentecost, that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon the church at Pentecost. It's called Pentecost because it's 50 days from the Passover. So, Pente, 50. So this was the day that was celebrated. So, after the resurrection of the Lord, some 50 days, he stayed with them. He stayed with them 40 days. And now we're looking that this is roughly around, though the time sequence is a little hard to determine, but roughly about 10 days or so from the resurrection. In fact, probably not that many, because the day of Pentecost was on a Sunday. So it was the day after the Jewish Sabbath, but that we know was on Saturday. So this is probably on a Sunday. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, let me tell you how I determined that this is on Sunday. Because Pentecost is 7 weeks of 7 days. So that's 49. So 49 and 50, you see the idea. Well, this is the seventh Sabbath from the resurrection. So that would make it a Sunday, you see. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And we know that from chapter 1, that they were in this upper room. And they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Now it's no accident that it's wind. For the Spirit of God, pneuma, or the Old Testament word ruach, spirit and wind. And the Spirit brooded, or the Spirit moved on the face of the deep. The Ruach. Here is a mighty wind, a breath. The wind blows where it wills, where it listeth. And no man knows from where it is coming or where it is going, but can simply see the effects of it. So is everyone born of the Spirit. It's a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. So like the flame of a fire. Cloven, split, and it sat upon each of them. Not just upon all of them hovering as if one, but each of them. For when the Spirit falls in a place, we beg for the Spirit to fall. We seek for the Spirit to fall. But when the Spirit does fall, He falls upon not just the congregation in mass, but upon each. As if that one was the only one with whom God is contending. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The word there in the Greek is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost is used in King James Version to express the third person of the Trinity as a title. And so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you see the phenomenon. Wind blowing. There was an appearance as cloven tongues of fire. And then they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues. So you see tongues. These tongues were like fire. The effect of it. And so it manifested in them. They're speaking now, but not speaking the thoughts that they were thinking, or they were not in there preparing speeches. But the Spirit gave them utterance. Every time the gospel is preached, if it is truly preached in truth, it is the Spirit that is giving the utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, not just any old men, not just folks that just showed up. But these people had showed up for a purpose. They were devout men. Out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, literally when this was made known, when this was noised abroad, so it didn't stay, you see. What happened there didn't stay there. It wasn't just confined there. It wasn't some secret thing that no one else knew about that they had to go out and tell. No, the movement of the Spirit of God was of such that they did not have to bear witness of it. It bore witness of itself. And when the Spirit of God comes, That will happen. We will not need to advertise. We will not need to put up billboards. We will not need to raise banners. We will not need to buy TV or radio commercials. It will break forth into the community. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They sought it out, you see. They sought it. The apostles didn't run out there. They sought it. And when they found it, they were troubled in their minds. They were confounded. Why? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So someone asked me one time, was this a speaking? It says that they spoke in other tongues. And now it's saying that every man heard them in their own language. What was it? Were they speaking their language? Or were they just speaking in tongues? Was it a speaking ministry? Or a speaking miracle? Or was it a hearing miracle? Yes. Yes. Every time the gospel is truly preached and truly heard, it is both a speaking and hearing ministry. It wasn't just some of them over here speaking one language and some over here speaking. No, they spoke as the Spirit gave utterance, and the people there heard it in their language because it was the Spirit of God speaking. They're troubled and amazed. And they were all amazed. And they marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, and Jews, and proselytes, and Cretes, and Arabians. We do all hear them in our tongues." That wonderful works, the wonderful works of God. And in case you didn't catch it, and they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking. Isn't that the way it is? Do they not mock us? Do they not laugh at us? Do they not make us the brunt of their jokes and the subject of their ridicule? They said, mocking, "These men are full of new wine. Well, yeah, they were. But not the wine that these mockers thought it was. But the Spirit. My friend, we do not preach for those that reject it and mock it. That's not why we speak. We speak because there are those that though we speak in our language, they hear the words of God in theirs. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. They didn't have time to get drunk. Men always try to explain away the works of God by common reasoning, but he says the prophet of God, the apostle, Peter, stands up filled with the Spirit of God and says, these men are not drunken as ye suppose. You foolish people, this is just the third hour of the day. Your explanations do not hold water. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, or come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, literally slaves, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Listen, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He quoted it all. This is that. And this is such a wonder, such a happening, that it shook heaven itself, affecting all of earth and the sun and the moon. This is apocalyptic language. This is prophetic language, the language to describe what only could be described in such language. Everything changed. Everything. The ones who heard this didn't know it, couldn't have imagined it. But now it's all different. Peter takes this text out of Joel, and then he begins to preach his sermon. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Again, you see, second, hear me. Hear me. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. I'm not trying to convince you of this, you know it. When you preach, all you have to do is point to Christ and what He has done. We see that, right? You know it. Him, that is this Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was something from the foundation of the world. It was something wonderful done by God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You wicked men that did not know the time of your visitation. You killed him. But whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer mine Holy One to see corruption. You won't leave my soul in Hades. You won't leave my soul in the grave. Neither will you allow it to suffer corruption. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you third time. You say, hear me, let me fully speak and freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. from crucified to crowned, from grave to throne. That's the gospel message. That's always the gospel message. He seeing this before, that is David, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or in the grave in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. Amen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. I don't know if these men really knew what they were asking. How do we get this blood off our hands? How in the world? Why are you telling us this? How in the world are we ever going to escape such a thing? I think it's just like the Philippian jailer in the 16th chapter of Acts. What must I do to be saved? I don't know if he was asking a theological question. But the good and faithful preacher, the one called of God, anointed by God, he will take the questions of men and turn them to proper questions. And here is what Peter did. Repent. Change your mind. Metanoia. Turn around. Stop going mentally and physically in the same direction you're going. Repent. And be baptized. That is, enter into this by an act of your will to bow. Come to him. Identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what Peter means. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, we're not privy to those other words. We don't know exactly how many other words there were, or how much he had to contend with unbelief or questions, but he continued. You notice he never left the theme. He testified, he exhorted, save yourselves from this untoward, from this wicked, this generation that's upside down and backwards, this generation that hates God and His Word, this generation that is perishing, this generation that is filled with all kind of idolatry, adultery, and fornication, and wickedness, and rebellion, this untoward generation. Save yourself from it. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. See, there's the receiving of the word. There's the transformation of life. There's a change of person, of character, of heart, of mind. And then they were baptized. My friend, if you were baptized before all of that, you weren't baptized at all. But they gladly received the word, and they identified themselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How in the world did 3,000 souls even hear this? In fact, more than 3,000, because only those that gladly received and were baptized were numbered. 3,000. Five 5,000 earlier were fed by Christ, but now 3,000 are added to the church. And they continued steadfastly. This is how we know that they were added. Wasn't fake, wasn't phony, wasn't some kind of trickery, some kind of preaching or preacher's numbers. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They left their friends for new friends. They're friends now. The only friends that they had that were their former friends, or the friends that were converted like they were, and now the fellowship is among them. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Notice that. By the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, that is their food, with gladness and singleness of heart. Not phony. Not fake. But of heart. Praising God. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, they were saved. And then He added them. Who added them? They didn't add themselves. The Lord added. Do we have time to wait on the Lord? Let us, my friend, continue daily with one accord here. Let us break bread from house to house. Let us have fellowship with one another. Let us eat our food with gladness and singleness of heart. Let us praise God. Let us watch as the Lord adds to His church. Daily, such as should be saved. Amen.